PHOÖ International. Studierende und Lehrende der Pädagogischen Hochschule Oberösterreich blicken über den Tellerrand und berichten von ihren Erfahrungen. Ein Podcast produziert von Maria Michelmann, Birgit Rosenauer und Christian Kogler. Herzlich willkommen beim PH Oberösterreich Podcast International Experiences. Es ist Episode 6. Wir haben Gäste aus Griechenland und einen Gast aus unserem Haus, die Barbara Etzinger-Sturm. I switched to English because our guests from Rhodes do not speak German, so the whole episode will be recorded in English. And maybe for the start, because we have just met, we could have met yesterday in the cinema because we were at the same time at the Crossing Europe Film Festival, but we just met, so I don't even really remember all your names properly, so maybe you just give a quick introduction, who you are.
Okay, my name is Despina Hatzidiakos, nice Greek name. I was born and raised and educated in Canada. I presently teach at the University of Aegean in the preschool department. I teach creative movement and social development. And it is a very big pleasure to be here. We thank you so much for inviting us, and we thank Barbara for being the coordinator of this very special event.
Is first name basis okay?
Oh, good. Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
Is it okay? Because Despina, yes. It would be very hard for me as an old man with the second names as well. So Despina, just before we go to the others, but it's a Greek name. You were educated and you grew up in Canada.
Yes, my parents are Greek. Mm-hmm. They were originally from Rhodes, but moved to Canada when they were young children for a better life. So I was born and raised there. So I'm a Greek from the diaspora.
And you came back for a better life to Rhodes?
Well, a different life. Yes, okay. It definitely is very different living in Europe compared to Canada. One example, and I think the same goes for your country, things in Canada are very calm. You know exactly what's going to happen, exactly what time the bus will arrive and things like this. Where in Greece, you wake up every moment, every day, and you don't know who's on strike, what is going to happen. But I really enjoy that. I like that zest. I enjoy that. So yes, I'm happy living in Greece. It's a beautiful country, and more specifically, living on the beautiful island of Rhodes, which we would love for everyone to come and visit.
Well, lots of people do, don't they? Okay. Yeah. Beside you sitting, we have a colleague from here, from Pädagogische Hochschule Oberösterreich. It's Barbara Etzinger-Sturm. Maybe Barbara, maybe you can give a brief introduction of yourself as well.
I'm basically an elementary school teacher. I'm still working at school for 2 days a week. And a lot of time I'm now in the sports hall, or I'm moving the kids because that's my focus. And the second half of my work time, I'm at the university teaching in the department of sports and movement. So basically my whole life is about moving, because I'm really sure that there is a high connection between moving and our brain development. And that's what I want to do for the kids. And that's what I want to bring into my educational time and tell the students how important it is to move the kids.
Well, that seems to be a topic of all of you, not a bit. So we can go a little bit deeper into that. And on my couch, so to say, we have two more guests. Would you like to say something as well, or just a brief introduction of yourself?
Hello, my name is Maria Kourouzidou. Γεννήθηκα στη Θεσσαλονίκη, σπούδασα στη Θεσσαλονίκη.
She was born and educated in Θεσσαλονίκη.
Τελείωσα δασκάλα, έτσι, στην προσχολική αγωγή. Διορίστηκα στην Ρόδο. Δούλεψα στην πρωτοβάθμια εκπαίδευση της Ρόδου και από το 2017 είμαι μόνιμα στο Πανεπιστήμιο Αιγαίου, στη Ρόδο, στο τμήμα προσχολικής αγωγής, έτσι, και εκπαιδευτικού σχεδιασμού.
Maria says that she was a teacher in primary education for many years, and since 2017 she's a teacher, a professor at the Department of Preschool Education at the University of the Aegean.
Mm-hmm. Well, great to have you here. And the last guest, so to say?
Hello, my name is Vasilia Kurti Kazuli, Curtis Kazulis. I was born in Rhodes, but I grew up in the United States, and I immigrated back to Rhodes, and I have been teaching at the University of the Aegean for many years. I'm at the Department of Primary Education, and my field of study is bilingualism, second language learning, but also language learning with new technologies. I'm also director of the Linguistics Lab and the assistant director of a master's program dealing with linguistics and language learning.
Very interesting.
So I'm very interested in anything dealing with language, but also movement and experiencing language. So this is what brings us together with Barbara.
Sometimes moving and language is not too far apart from
it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, it's so great to have you here, and it's so interesting. I mean, it's interesting that you also have a different like life story, like there's been on it. I mean, also kind of having grown up actually on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean and then coming back to Greece. I mean, the University of the Aegean, as I know it, has a very specific character, because it's not like on one campus. It's kind of spread out, as far as I remember, on several islands, and sometimes
correct.
Students even come by ferry. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes, the University of the Aegean is spread out on different islands in the Aegean. It's a relatively big university for Greek standards, but maybe for international standards not. But this is the identity of our university. And this is why I think that technologies were introduced very early into the University of the Aegean, mm-hmm. because it's the communication between the islands and mainland Greece. And we have a lot of cooperation and participation with collaboration with different universities around the world. And we're very interdisciplinary, so we like to combine disciplines.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that many people don't realize what it's like to live on an island.
Mm-hmm.
I just would like to make a point here. Even the people from Greece that live on the mainland do not understand the difficulties. Mm-hmm. For example, when I first moved to Rhodes, my main concern was, but what if I want to get off the island and I can't due to strikes or bad weather? And this happened last week. The mm-hmm. weather was so bad, no one could leave the island. And if you have medical issues or other issues, you cannot leave the island. Mm-hmm. So I think that all the university being on the islands is a big advantage for these people living on the islands, because there's young people moving and living on the island for many years that may have been abandoned.
But let's just say also that Rhodes specifically... It's a very international island, because we have thousands of planes from all countries,
yeah,
all
yes.
over the world coming in every day. So I think the Aegean islands are quite unique in this way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had two visits to Rhodes, and one was in September, beginning of September, and one was in November. And it was completely different.
Yes.
The atmosphere, of course. Yeah.
People and no people.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And our conferences also in our universities. I think that I've met so many people on the island of Rhodes without having to really go anywhere else, because Rhodes attracts a lot of people, attracts tourists, but also attracts professors and different scientists all over the world.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested, I mean, Barbara and you, have you already talked a little bit about also your kind of subject, your kind of what you're actually here for? Has there been talks already?
Yes, we had Zoom meetings about mm-hmm. our focuses and what we would like to teach. So how we normally work with the students, and how we could bring together all our different or maybe also very similar approaches mm-hmm. to teaching and to life as well.
Mm-hmm. And so you will be teaching, actually. So mm-hmm. the Greek colleagues will be teaching in Barbara's class. And do you think, I mean, for us in this podcast, it's always a little bit also about dissemination of international experience in whatever way. And this is definitely, having you here is kind of also a bit of a part of internationalization at home, because our students get a kind of international perspective. What's kind of the added value for you? Yeah.
The class we are teaching today is about rhythm and dancing mainly. So I tried to have some courses this week when the ladies are coming, which we could really use well. And in my school, they're like 95% of pupils with other mother tongues. And I found out that working with them, dancing with them, playing with them brings not only a lot of fun, but a lot of experience about culture. And they feel more integrated if you also take dances from their own culture. So that is what we will be using today, working with different cultures over music and dances. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that.
And from the other perspective, I mean, what is your goal, or what would you like to benefit through your visit, through being here?
Well, first of all, experiences with students from other countries, we learn a lot from them and from our colleagues. So right then and there, we've already learned a lot and we'll learn a lot. Then we're bringing what we teach in our culture to Austria. So today, besides our warm-ups and things like this, I, for example, will be teaching Greek dancing and showing how Greek dancing unites people. And you don't need to know the language to learn how to dance the Greek dancing. Vasilia will also, and Maria will explain what they're doing, because we're connecting language with the dancing. And it doesn't matter what language you speak, everyone will be able to participate in today's language, in today's lesson. Mm-hmm.
And I think that Barbara did a wonderful job planning the lessons with us, and had some great ideas. Tomorrow we're going on the walks, and we're going to be doing activities with the students. But let me just begin with how we bring this all together. Let's say I'm an educational linguist, Maria's a sociologist, Debbie teaches creative movement. And so we're talking about, first of all, of using the entire background knowledge, the repertoires, the experiences, the identities that they bring with them into education. And through movement, you have a more relaxed environment where you can create the community in the classroom. So we're going to begin with activities that build upon this sense of community, learning from each other and experiencing the experiences that the others have in our group. And so it's not so much of what the students learn, but creating the community where learning can take place, let's say, in a more creative and a more positive way. And then we begin, let's say, with one subject, which is language. We're going to do different activities to show how movement can be used to learn a language. And we're going to be learning the languages of the students in our group today, and also Greek.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great. It's not done enough, I'm absolutely sure. I think that we often, at least as I perceive it in Austria, I'm not totally so much into primary schools, because I come from secondary teacher education more, and not so much from primary teacher education, but sometimes, mostly with people like you visiting, I get to primary schools. And so it's definitely different there. But in secondary schools, and the higher it gets, the worse it gets, I think, there's still a strong focus on subjects. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. as a sports teacher, physical and health education, in secondary education for many years, that was one of my problems as well, is getting the parents interested in what the students are doing in school. Mm-hmm. And making them, see, this is what we have to stress, is the first thing you should do when you go to a school, and I'm talking to everyone in the world, is go and ask the sports teacher, no one else, the sports teacher, how is my child doing in your class? Because it is the only subject when you see the true personality of the child. Mm-hmm. If they're an introvert, extrovert, if they're being bullied, or if they bully. Because through game, and you can see which children are going to be taking the road that they shouldn't take, and the proper road, I'll say that, with discipline. Mm-hmm. So for me, a word of advice to all the parents, this is where you go to see what the child's personality is like, because mm-hmm. people are not paying enough attention to that part of their identity.
Mm-hmm. And let mm-hmm. me just add to this, but it's very important in education that we realize that we are not teaching subjects. We are teaching persons. Mm-hmm. So we have to be, first of all, focus on the person, and in generally how this person develops in society is very important in what we do in schools. So this is very important, and that's why I talked about a community of learning, because if we can have a community that functions correctly in a positive way for everyone in school, and then maybe this can be also taken to the outside world, which we are desperately in need of today. We have to learn how to work together, care for each other, and so forth.
Well, I really like what I'm hearing, I must say. I've been, like all my kind of teaching life or pedagogical life, that was my main goal. I mean, I sometimes get a little bit frustrated about the speed of development in the educational system. It could be a bit faster. There was actually somebody told me, I don't know where it was, either it was on the radio or somewhere, yeah, that if you took a doctor, a surgeon, yeah, from like 150 years ago and put her or him into a operation, what would you call it?
Operating room
mm-hmm. would be completely lost, no? Mm-hmm. What happens if you take a teacher? Yeah, so, and that I think shows where we are, right? I mean, if a system doesn't develop very much in 150 years, the system has a problem.
And but I think, let me just add to this, now because we're reaching a milestone now with artificial intelligence, so we've been talking about education having to change, and so we've been talking about it, but now with artificial intelligence, we realize that we have come to a dead end, so mm-hmm. we need to change. So hopefully education will change for the better. And I mean for the better, not for the disciplines, the better for the individual persons and the communities in general.
Mm-hmm. So, and how do you actually manage to introduce your ideas? I mean, and this is a stereotype now, and I could say exactly the same thing for Austria. So you have to excuse me if it's a little bit of a stereotype. I got through my travels and connections, I got a little bit the impression that if you want to see innovation in pedagogics, you have to go to like Scandinavian countries, for instance. I mean, I don't think that's completely correct, yeah, because the best school I've ever seen in my life was in Ecuador, in Latin America. So I'm sure that's wrong, but kind of as a very, very probably as a generalization, which is not correct. Yeah, but I get a little bit the feeling, and I'm not sure. Maybe, and please correct me if you say the Greek educational system in general is far more advanced to these countries, because in Austria I have the feeling we have a long way to go.
Well, let me say that in education, of course, we have a curriculum. And in Greece, we have a national curriculum. So that means if we have a curriculum, we have a curriculum that we have to follow. But in spite of this, whatever the curriculum is, we are all in education departments. So our students are going to be preschool teachers, or they're going to be teachers in my case. So that means that if we have students today that are educated in a way that can become good teachers, that's what I tell them all the time, they can become good teachers and creative teachers, and through looking at different things, being able to put that into their classroom, well, I think then that we've done made a small step forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say about the Greek educational system, many Greeks, of course, criticize it as they do, but from a personal experience, I'm just going to use my daughter as an example. Mm-hmm. She went to was in Greece until year 9. And we moved to Canada, and she finished high school in Canada. Mm-hmm. She walked into the Canadian education system to a very good school because they're rated there. Mm-hmm. And she was first in chemistry, first in physics, first in mathematics. Mm-hmm. Her English level was very high, her French, et cetera, et cetera. This was from the Greek school system. Mm-hmm. Yes, we lack in some things, the practical part. We may not have chemistry labs, or we may not have big gymnasiums, but the education system is in such a way that they make the children have to think outside of the box, because we don't have everything that all the other schools have. So you need to use your imagination.
Literacy. Well, yes. That's interesting, because mm-hmm. I definitely think it's not about equipment. I think it's about human relations.
Oh, and that's one thing she also mentioned, was in Canada, the teachers would just stand there and teach, and the kids would be on their phone, where in Greece, they come up to you and say, did you understand that? Do you need some help there? It's what you said, the personal part of it was lacking in Canada.
I was in a very good school in the UK recently, and I was there the whole morning, and I was there with one teacher, and kind of, as you probably know, that in the UK, the teachers stay in the room, they have their room, kind of, and the students come, not like here, where it's the other way around. And the teacher did a perfect PowerPoint show every hour, So I was thinking after the seventh show, if all the teachers would do that, then the students get, I don't know, seven, eight, nine perfect PowerPoint shows a day. I mean, I was completely dead nearly after the third one, So if they, of course, they're only sitting, it's a show, so you have a presenter, perfect technology, everything fine, but students just sitting there all the time. And that maybe brings us back to our topic, no?
So this is some of the things we're going to do with Barbara today and tomorrow that she has wonderfully planned for us, which are more student-centered and rather than teacher-centered. Mm-hmm. We are not going to use PowerPoints.
Mm-hmm. And because the topic came around, one of the things that we stress is in the kindergarten, you cannot have 4 and 5 and 6-year-olds sitting there. So through play and dance and movement, they learn their colors, they learn their letters, et cetera, et cetera. But this does not need to be only in the kindergarten. Easily it can be done in the elementary school because students, I don't know about your country, but in Greece, unfortunately, it's what you said, they sit all day. And that is why they're hyper. Mm-hmm. And that's why at recess they go crazy. It's not enough of time of play for them.
And everybody who cannot stand the torture then gets medicine to keep him or her calm, no? Yeah, because that she or he is the problem, not the system. And that is such a misperception, no? I mean, some people can stand it, but many people just can't stand it, but they're still very, very normal.
You have to change the system and not the child.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do at school and also at university. I'm using a lot of activities and like impulse control training, for example, in the classroom or in the sports hall, or if we are training the school subjects at the beginning. As I said, a lot of my pupils, they have other mother tongues. So we are taking all these different school subjects to the sports hall, and I just lay them out there in the sports hall, and the kids run to the things. So I name the words and they just run there and touch it, and they are talking about the color. So I'm trying to bring things from the classroom into the sports hall and the other way around. And I'm part of Bewegte Schule Österreich. So that's another field where I'm working, and I'm teaching teachers how to use more activities and exercises in the classroom for training the memory of the kids, for example, or for training impulse control, foresight, executive functions, for example.
Mm-hmm. And this is why we are here.
And do you see kind of, in your work, do you see kind of the difference? Like, to, you probably also have, like, you see it, how it works in other classrooms and so on?
I can see that the integration of the kids is easier. In my school, there are only inclusive classes, to tell you the truth, because we always have kids with ADHS, for example, or they are in the autism spectrum. So we have to work with them in a way that everybody can take part in. So that's the main focus of my teaching classes, that all the students will take part, or at least the most of the time, because they have a lot of psychological problems sometimes, or problems in their families. And I would like them to be really in the classroom or in the sports hall with their whole mind and body as long as they're there, and to forget maybe a little bit about the rest, and to develop their own personalities, and to have the feeling, okay, I will get it, I can take part, I'm part of the group.
I have to go back to that again. I'm sorry, I probably were there a little bit, but we have a little bit the problem that we sometimes need to justify our international work, that not everybody on all levels in the Austrian educational decision system kind of thinks that this is important. Yeah. So I think I might have asked you a little bit as well, but I don't think we really specified it. What do you think, Barbara, will you gain from your three visitors from Rhodes?
For me, it's the most interesting thing that there are three professors working in similar fields or also different ones, and how we could cooperate. So we are coming from different cultures, but we will working with pupils and students coming from different cultures, and we have different personalities, but I'm quite sure that we will make a perfect lesson today, right, because of all these different influences. So it's highly interesting to see how they work in this field and how we could connect it.
We should make an episode 1 and 1A and an episode 1B with you, right? So before and after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, is there anything else you think would be important for our listeners?
I wanted to say that just something, because we're going to be doing Greek dancing today, something that is interesting about Greek dancing. Greek dancing has its rules, like all dancing. Mm-hmm. But in this particular dances that we do in Greece, our circles that we have are always open. We never close our circle in Greek dancing. This means it's open for anyone to join it. So that is what Greek dancing does. It brings people together. It doesn't ask you where you're from, what education, what culture, religion. Everyone is welcome to dance. And that is why I love Greek dancing. Even though, you know, we were born in Canada and mm-hmm. raised, it's such a special part of what I am. Mm-hmm. And I personally go to all the Greek festivals. I may even be by myself. I'll stay there and dance with total strangers mm-hmm. for 3 and 4 hours. Then I'll leave and go home. You can do that.
So let me add into what Debbie has just said. So she's talking about dancing being the sense of community. So we have communities of learning and students. But also in the age of technology, we have communities of practice, which means they are people, professionals working together and sharing experiences. So this is what we want to do with Barbara and perhaps other colleagues as well at your university and our university, is to share our thoughts and our research and to be able to make education better through this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a wonderful ending kind of. What would you say? What is the finish line? No, finish line is for sports.
Yeah. Well, sports, this
closing.
Is us.
Yeah.
The
closing.
The closing.
Closing of the interview and opening of the
of our lessons.
Collaboration.
Of the collaboration. Well, thank you so much for being my guests today. And yeah, we hope to see each other again, either on Rhodes or here in Linz.
We would love to see you in Rhodes.
Have a great time and interesting exchanges.
Das war PHOÖ International. Abonniere und sei dabei.